And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is imbalance. Each of my segments describes an imbalance of some sort, whether it's physiological, political, or in business. My next guest is the co-author of the best-selling Go-Giver series of business books. We'll discuss his latest in the series titled It's Not About You, which happens to be released today. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. John David Mann believes that adults are more than just one thing, one occupation in life. He is a composer, a cellist, an educator, an entrepreneur, an editor, a writer, and a husband. John is an award-winning author whose writings have earned the Nautilus Award, the Axiom Business Book Award, gold medal, by the way, Taiwan's Golden Book Awards for Innovation. John has written or co-written a variety of different books, 15 in all. I mentioned the Go-Giver series, which is the Go-Giver, Go-Giver Sell More, and his latest book, It's Not About You. He also contributed on Daniel Burris's book, Flash Foresight, Take the Lead, and, as I said, many, many others. John is a concertcellist and a prize-winning composer. At the age of 13, his musical score for Achilles Prometheus Bound was performed at the amphitheater in Delphi, Greece, where the play originally premiered. At 15, he was the recipient of the 1969 BMI Award to Student Composers. At 17, he co-founded a private high school in East Orange, New Jersey, called Changes Incorporated. 1986, he founded and wrote Solstice, a journal on health and environmental issues. In 1992, he produced an underground bestseller, The Greatest Networker in the World, under the pen name John Milton Fogg, which became the defining book in the industry and sold over 2 million copies in 8 different languages. During the 1990s, he built a multi-million dollar sales organization with over 100,000 people, and he is co-founder and senior editor of Upline Journal and editor-in-chief of Networking, Marketing, Lifestyles, and Networking Times. Boy, that is a lot of accomplishments. Welcome to the show, John. How are you today?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Well, it sounds it from all of your stuff. You are one busy man, and I'm glad to have you for just a couple of minutes here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Let's dive into your new book. It is out today, and ironically, the title of your book, It's Not About You, I think is somewhat misleading. In fact, it's all about you. It's about how you learn to listen to others, how you focus on their needs. So explain what you mean by the title, It's Not About You.
Well, you've got a point, because it really is about you. It's about anybody. The book is a follow-up, as you said, to our earlier book, The Go-Giver. And, of course, The Go-Giver is a play on go-getter. And so we like to come out with concepts that are a little bit counterintuitive or make you kind of go, huh? And you just did that, and that's great. It's the idea of it's not about you is, you know, whatever great parenting is, it's not about the parent. It's about the kid. Whatever great teaching is, it's not about the teacher. It's about the student. And kind of the theme of the book, or the core of the book, is the idea that great leaders or people of great influence become great leaders because they really have their focus on other people. You know, when you're in the presence of a magical leader, the magic of them is that they stay attuned to the magic of other people.
Gotcha. All right. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, John, looking at it, your story is a business parable, and the main protagonist in the story is Ben. He's a young salesperson. He's sent to merge a furniture manufacturing company called Allen and Augustine with his company, Marsden Group. There are 4 company executives at Allen and Augustine, and there's this mysterious Aunt L. So I guess my first question is about the business parable. Really? I mean, another business parable? What is it about this format that intrigues so many business writers to write parables?
You know, it comes down to people, I think, learn core concepts better through an interesting story, hopefully an interesting story, than they do through a lecture or through pure didactic like A, B, C, D, E. And, you know, it's why we keep coming back to stories and parables. I love what Mark Sanborn, he very kindly said about this book. He said, I don't really like business parables, but I kind of like this one. And, you know, we've tried to make the story, you know, come alive and feel real and be engaging in terms of the nature of the characters and the stories unfolds, but it's a good way to get a story, get a point across.
Well, we do learn better by stories, and your parable is good. So what are some of the key lessons that Ben, the main protagonist in your story, learns?
Well, you know, of course, the big one is it's not you, but the idea, there are kind of 5 key principles or 5 key ideas that he bumps into in the course of this week, where, as you say, he's trying to, basically, his job is to persuade 500 people, the 500 employees of the struggling company, to go with the decision he wants them to go with. So it's really a book about how do you influence people to make a tough decision. And in the course of that, he bumps into five key ideas. We call them five keys to legendary leadership. And they're, I think of them kind of like four fingers and a thumb. They're four key ideas that work well, but they don't really work totally without the fifth, which is the thumb that pulls them together.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. What are some of those key things, or the fingers, if you will, on the hand?
Well, the first finger, it starts with, the first key is hold, we say hold the vision. And the idea there, I mean, there have been a billion books written about leadership. That might be a slight exaggeration. But I think that there will be a billion more. Leadership is such an interesting thing. It's so hard to pin down. You know, leaders aren't just CEOs. They aren't just people in pulpits and boardrooms. They aren't just presidents and politicians. We're all leaders in different contexts. We all have the opportunity to lead others, to influence others. And so it's a fascinating idea. And the thing about it is there's no real blueprint or recipe or paint by numbers kind of formula for being a great leader. And so we that's why there's so many books written about trying to pin this thing down. The first idea is hold the vision. And the idea here is starting anything, whether it's a business or a movement or an organization or a community or a relationship with two people, it starts out of nothing. It's building something out of nothing. So it is, in a sense, a leap of faith. And what people need more than anything to hold that leap together is some kind of vision or picture, usually in one person's mind, for where this thing can go. And we believe that holding that vision aloft, holding a clear picture of the end in mind, is the thing that people count on you most when you're in a position of influence. So we start with hold the vision.
That makes sense. My guest is John David Band, author of the new book, It's Not About You, a little story about what makes what matters most in business. And John, in that last answer, really, it prompted another question in my mind, and that is there are literally a million business books on leadership that are out there, but it begs the bigger question. I mean, how did we come to an era of the high-visibility business leader? When you think about it, back to the 1960s and 70s, you'd be really hard-pressed to think of an influential business leader. And then in the 1980s, events like the Tylenol scare really thrust James Burke into the limelight with Johnson & Johnson. Lee Iacocca and the bankruptcy of Chrysler sort of thrust him into the limelight, and Jack Welch of GE. And those were some of my first memories of the real influential business type of leader that's out there. How did business leaders sort of lose their focus on leadership, and how did we start to get these superstars, if you will, of leadership to become idols, rock stars, if you will?
Well, I think it's actually a cyclic thing. I think that leaders were kind of anonymous in the 50s and 60s, in a sense. And it was kind of a shocking thing when you had, an actual person like as you mentioned, Lee Iacocca became a folk hero, because we weren't used to really knowing who was at the top of the boards. But I think it's cyclic. I think we always inevitably look to individuals, look to single people whose personalities we get to know, to kind of hold that, as I said, vision aloft. And I think it's kind of an inevitable thing. Unfortunately, part of the cycle is disappointment. You know, and I think that what the cycle is built on is hope and disappointment. You know, we had Enron, then we had new rules that came out to try to keep that thing straight, and then, my goodness, a couple of years later, we had corporations did something even more phenomenally bad than Enron and WorldCom. So, you know, it's an ironic thing. We look to leaders, they dash our hopes, and we kind of talk about that. There's a fatal flaw that leaders tend to make. It comes with the territory of a position of power that I think it is critical that we learn to recognize and avoid.
Fatal flaw of the leaders, John, or is it part of the American psyche that we like to put people up on pedestals and then knock them off? I mean, what makes a Steve Jobs so admirable as a leader, or Jeff Bezos of Amazon? Why do we look to them with such admiration? And how do they hold it?
Yeah, well, you know, part of it is it's there are different kinds of leaders. You know, you look at someone like Steve Jobs. He's not exactly, you wouldn't call him a people person. And then you look at someone like Herb Kelleher or Colleen Barrett of Southwest Airlines. Well, they are very much people persons. Mm. So they're different kinds of personalities. The thing about Jobs that's so phenomenal is what he accomplished. And what he accomplished in large part has to do with two of the five principles in our book. The first one is hold the vision. Man, this guy held that vision. He held fast to a kind of a quirky, bizarre, unlikely vision. And during that period, when he was out of Apple, of course, the whole company stumbled and practically collapsed by the late 90s, brought him back in, and lo and behold, this thing suddenly resurrected and became the largest tech company on the planet.
Yeah.
It's kind of phenomenal. But the second thing Jobs did was he did principle number three in the book, which we call do the work. And the idea of this principle is leaders never forget the details. Leaders never ask their people to do something they're not willing to do themselves. Leaders get their fingers dirty and their boots in the mud. They don't get themselves so far into the ivory tower that they forget what's going on the ground. And one of the strengths of someone like Jobs is he always kept himself directly in touch with all of the design details and practical aspects of his gizmos, as he was very much in the trenches, no matter how high he got.
Yeah, almost to a fault, he was involved in everything there. My guest is John David Mann, author of the book, It's Not About You. So we've got Hold the Vision is one of the fingers, Do the Work is another of the fingers. Talk to me about the other two fingers and the thumb, if you will, John.
The other two fingers are build your people, and I mentioned that, in relation to Colleen Barrett and Herb Kelleher, who created this phenomenal culture called Southwest Airlines. And the idea of build your people is simply this, that no matter what resources and value you have to offer as an organization, as a company, as a business, bottom line, every business is made of people. And so it's always a matter of building people relationships. And that's easy to forget, again, when you're on the highest floors of the skyscraper.
Very true. So build your people, do the work, hold the vision. What's the fourth finger?
Fourth finger boils down to this. We called it stand for something. And what we mean by that is it's really about character. Character counts. As we say in the book, competence matters, but character matters more. And character is the thing that is not visible always in the surface, but it radiates from inside you. It's kind of like the inside is larger than the outside. People, we believe, are not fools. People are not idiots. People actually get it. And character is something that will reveal itself in time, whether you try to hide it or you're free to show it. And ultimately, the character of a leader will come to the surface. It's something like reputation. Reputation is that building that once you burn it down, it's very, very difficult to rebuild it again. So character, reputation, who a person is more than what they do or what they say, that's what that fourth finger is all about.
And the thumb that ties it all together?
And the thumb is, it's not about you. Aunt Elle, the character you mentioned, talks about these four fingers and thumb, and she says leaders often make this fatal error, which is we say that a leader is a container of other people's hopes and dreams. A leader is the person that people put their faith in, their belief in, their trust in, even their fears in. As you say, we like to set them up and knock them down because we kind of put into a leader everything that we love and hate and fear and hope. The fatal flaw is that leaders start to confuse the situation and believe that they are not only the container of people's hopes, that they are their hopes, that they are the great white hope, that they are the value of the business. Leaders start to believe their own press. They just start to think, it's all about me. The idea of it's not all about you is that a truly powerful, influential, positive leader never forgets that, in fact, it's really not about him or her. That the value of a leader is in serving the people that are involved in the enterprise.
The servant leader sort of mentality there. My guest is John David Mann, author of the book, It's Not About You, a little story about what matters most in business. So, John, I guess my question to you, in what ways does a return to the basic business principles that you talk about in your book so important in today's economy?
Well, gosh, I mean, more important than ever in a way. Influence and leadership are a funny thing because the harder times get, the more we look to each other for inspiration, for guidance, because there's more fear. Fear is rampant in the land. I hesitate to dip my toe too much into the political waters. Bob and I try to kind of keep our noses clean in the area of politics.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, if we ever needed, examples of clean, powerful, positive leadership in the area of our political leadership, it certainly is now. The Harvard Kennedy School of Government has an annual index of leadership they do every year. And that index shows that over the last 10, 15 years, our trust and belief in our leadership in America, not just politically, but in every range, in politics, in business, in every area but medicine and military, interestingly, we've got kind of a leadership crisis. And so I think that you know, understanding what's the real nature of genuine leadership on every level, from the highest to the most mundane and practical every day, never been more important than it is now if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess we're in.
Well, very well said. My guest is John David Mann, and we're talking about his book, It's Not About You. John, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, It's Not About You?
I guess, you know, that influence and leadership are a very human thing. That they're not about expertise and about brilliance in an academic sense, and they're not about some kind of high-level training. That leadership and influence are a very human, very real thing. They're available to all of us, and we all need to learn how to embody these qualities, these traits.
Very well said. My guest is John David Mann. John, if people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the book has a site of its own. It's INAY, stands for It's Not About You. So it's INAYbook.com, INAYbook.com. And that will tell you all about the book. You can download 2 free chapters of the book if you want to taste before you buy. And it also leads to bios and information about my co-author Bob Berg, about Bob's site and about my site, and you can follow those threads to find out all about who we are.
Oh, that is great. John, it has been a real delight having you as my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy the Brain, thank you so much.